our final case this afternoon, and I apologize if I don't pronounce this name correctly, In Re Interest of Le Antonay D. Before council approaches, I understand we had a motion to allow a certified senior law student to argue. Is that correct? And are you the supervising attorney for her?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, all right. The motion will be granted, and so council may approach. And
thank you. May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Petter Bartling, and I am the attorney for Stacy P., the mother in interest who brings this appeal before this court, litigating the separate juvenile court's order dated June 21st, 2019, that declined to order a plan of rehabilitation for the mother to allow her to put herself in a position to reunify with her children.
Can you, I would call it the elephant in the room, can you address the position of opposing counsel that we don't have jurisdiction because it should have been the May order that was appealed from, not the June?
Certainly. I'll take a half step back and say that the matter came before the juvenile court as a result of five distinct pleadings that the state of Nebraska, acting through the Douglas County Attorney's Office, filed. Those pleadings were from August of 2018 through April of 2019. When the court held its dispositional hearing on April the 30th of 2019, that hearing was held as the initial disposition on the fourth supplemental petition, which was dated March 26, 2019, and the second amended supplemental petition, which was dated September 28th, 2018, with respect to the minor children or juveniles Legend, Leanthony, and Leani.
The three youngest.
Yes, ma'am. That was the first dispositional hearing in this case with respect to those children. With respect to the older two, as they're referred to in the record by a number of the legal parties, that was the first substantive dispositional hearing in that the case had been in assessment or evaluation mode prior to that time.
It was actually a review and permanency hearing, wasn't it?
It was. However, if the court takes a look at the Bill of Exceptions and it's detailed in the brief, although it was called a juvenile review hearing, the court was making assessments to determine what rehabilitation plan it was going to order with respect to all of the children. The case is, and that's why I took the half step back, based on the way the pleadings were filed in this case in August of 18, September of 18, October of 18, March of 19, and April of 19, it became very difficult for this case to be organized, and I think that's how the juvenile court very clearly took it on.
Well, let's talk about the three younger and it being the first dispositional hearing as to the three younger. There's no question that a dispositional order can be appealed.
Yes.
Right? So if there's an adverse outcome for a parent in that situation, shouldn't it be appealed and shouldn't it have been appealed, at least with regard to those three?
Well, in my brief, I cite the court to the case law that discusses how we look at dispositional orders. And I agree with you, Judge, that if there had been a dispositional order imposed on that hearing, it was the April 30th hearing, the order didn't come out until May 21st for some reason, but if there had been a dispositional order, we could have appealed that at that time.
However, it's your position, it's not a dispositional order?
No, no. The court very clearly said the plan that was put forth in Exhibit 28, the case plan and court report, is not adopted. It's rejected. And in fact, no alternative was adopted. Nothing was done. The court sent it back, and this is on the face of the bill exceptions, to the department to reformulate a new plan and present it to a court at a later date. So had I appealed that, and I apologize for interrupting, but had I appealed that at that time, I'm guessing that the court would have asked me, what are you appealing? What is the disposition?
Well, let's talk about that.
Sure.
Wouldn't you have been appealing that the court determined that there were no more reasonable efforts to be afforded to your client at that point? Isn't that a substantial right affecting your client's interests?
It's unclear that was the court's finding, because the court sent it back for there are statements to that effect. I concede that.
That's in the order.
Yes, ma'am. I concede that. However, the court didn't say, I'm sending this case back to the department for a new plan that is a no reasonable efforts plan. It said, give me another plan. It didn't say, give me a plan of adoption. It didn't say, give me a plan that includes no reasonable efforts or no efforts of any kind. It said, give me another plan. And so had I come to this court at that time and said, I'm here with a final order, my suspicion is the court would have said, what are you appealing? Are you simply appealing a no reasonable efforts because the court hasn't ruled any further? What if the department had come back and said, we give you an alternative plan, and the alternative plan is reunification once again?
But wasn't that suggestion made, and the judge said, are you asking me now in the June hearing? And the judge said, are you asking me to reconsider what I have already considered?
The judge asked me that,
right.
And I said, yes,
right.
I am. And she said, no. But the point we're making here is the order from May 21st of 2019 did not create a disposition. It didn't create anything. It simply referred the case back for something else, for a new case plan, a new court report. And in fact, the record reflects that DHHS did generate a totally different case plan and a totally different court report. And at the first hearing in April, you have the state through the county attorney, the state through the department, and the guardian ad litem for the juveniles saying, this is the appropriate plan, and that plan is rejected. No one at that time said there is an alternative plan in place or there's the negation of a plan in place. I cited in my brief, and this is how I see it, that we have four avenues to approach this court as a parent. Under Tie M, we could come to the court, as you said, Judge, through a dispositional order that puts into effect some reunification plan or rehabilitation plan. Under Tabitha R, we can come to this court if there is a refusal to put a plan in place at all, which is distinguishable from this case. Under Tie M, if the department is relieved and a no reasonable efforts order is made, which is distinguishable from this case. And under Diana M, again, if there is a change from reunification to adoption and no reasonable efforts is ordered. Those cases, none of those things happened here. We had the judge very explicitly saying, this is a charade. I've looked at this case over the course of its life, and the fact that the department, the county attorney, and the guardian ad litem for the juveniles think this is a good plan, I disagree with them. I'm sending it back for another plan. When we left court on April 30th, and when we received the order on May 21st, what was the dispositional plan? The dispositional plan, per that order, was to come back for, quote, further disposition.
Well, it said to, it was returned to DHHS for alternative permanency planning recommendations, which, if there's no further reasonable efforts to be provided, your options are pretty limited.
That's correct, but at that point in time, that wasn't known. The court's final, if you will, final order on no reasonable efforts was the order dated June 21st, 2019, because that's the order that said the permanency plan in this case will be adoption. It won't be reunification as Exhibit Number 28 had recommended. So that was the first time the court articulated a rehabilitation plan in this case after April 30th. There was no plan articulated. It was simply, give me another plan. Not this plan, something else.
What was left? Guardianship or adoption? That's pretty much it, right?
Those were two options that were available, or reconsideration. The court certainly hadn't put into effect, there's nothing in the order from May 21st that says reunification is not the plan. The court said orally, I don't believe this is an appropriate plan. I believe this is a charade. I believe all the legal parties. And keep in mind, think about the posture of this case. You have every participating legal party recommending the adoption of the department's plan, and the court independently saying, no, give me something else. Then we come back 30 days later, and all but the mother's attorney say, you know what, now we're going to go with this. My point from the mother's standpoint is, if I had come to you in in May following that hearing. I suspect that the state's position would be, we haven't gotten a final plan. We are in between, sort of a legal purgatory, if you will, because the court sent it back asking for another plan, and now Mr. Bartling is here telling you this is a final appealable order, but we don't know what he's appealing. Is he appealing no further reasonable efforts? Is he pleading?
But isn't what you're trying to argue on appeal all related to what was decided in the May order, that there would be no more reasonable efforts?
Well, if the court believes, everything in this case is related, there's no doubt about that. But if the court believes that that was a no reasonable efforts order and it should have been appealed, then that's why I presented to you the statute that says we never had a hearing that was conducted pursuant to 283, making a finding by clear and convincing evidence. If you look at that record, the judge simply just says, I know this case, I know the history of this case, and based on my knowledge of the case, this is a charade, so I'm not going to participate in the charade, I'm not going to go along with it, and as a result, I'm sending this back for another plan. So at that point in time, it's the mother's contention, and I know my light's on, it's the mother's contention that there was nothing to appeal because the court hadn't put a plan into place. The absence of a plan is not a plan. Your case law, our case law in this state, all of us who do child welfare law, is that it's the refusal to put a plan in place that we can appeal, or an actual plan that we can appeal. This is in between. This is the court saying, I'm not going to put the plan in that's in Exhibit 28, and I'm not refusing to put a plan in. I'm sending it back for you to give me something else that then I can rule on when we come back for this hearing in June. And that's what the court did. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. How far did we take him over?
59 seconds.
Let's add that to the appellee's time, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, Mr. Bartling. My name is Emily Medcalf, Senior Certified Law Clerk, appearing with Supervising Attorney Joshua Bauman, Deputy Douglas County Attorney. I represent the state of Nebraska, the appellee in this matter. Your Honors, there are two issues here before you today. The appellant made several assignments of errors in his brief. However, the first step is to determine the jurisdiction of this court. The state would request that this court dismiss the appellant's appeal for lack of jurisdiction. Under Nebraska Revised Statute, Section 25-1902, a final order that may be reviewed on appeal includes an order affecting a substantial right during a special proceeding.
Would you agree that a juvenile proceeding is a special proceeding?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
And isn't a finding that no reasonable efforts are required, doesn't that affect a substantial interest of a parent?
Absolutely, Your Honor. The state would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Does that not meet the definition of a final order, substantial right affected in a special proceeding?
It does in that respect, Your Honor. However, the state's contention is that the order that was appealed was the June 21st, 2019 order, which is substantially the same as the May 21st, 2019 order, excusing DHHS from further reasonable efforts and rejecting the permanency objective of reunification.
What about the absence of a new plan? As you heard counsel say, where are we in terms of what's the plan as of that May order?
Your Honor, I would argue in that situation, regardless of what the plan was or that there was not a plan put in place, the substantial right that was affected because reunification was already rejected from the court. The court found that reunification was not in the children's best interest. She made statements on the record to that effect, and she further, to prove the point, excuse DHHS from providing any further reasonable efforts towards reunification. Case law in Nebraska has, under In Re Interest of Levanta S., the Nebraska Supreme Court referenced several cases together that said an order is not a final appealable order unless the parent's ability to achieve rehabilitation and family reunification has clearly been eliminated. And that right and that substantial right was clearly eliminated from the May 21st, 2019 order. This court additionally has stated in In Re Interest of Jade and W that a review order does not affect a parent's substantial right if the court adopts a case plan or a permanency plan that is almost identical to the plan that the court adopted in a previous disposition or review order. A dispositional order which merely continues a previous determination is not an appealable order.
So let's just go back, though, to that May, when that May order comes out. What's the dispositional plan? All we know really from the court is that no reasonable efforts are required any longer. So
the state's argument in that for towards that point is that the state has already, or the court has already rejected a permanency objective of reunification. So as this court stated, that doesn't leave very many other options. That leaves guardianship or adoption. My argument is that regardless of the fact that there wasn't a specific adoption or guardianship permanency objective stated, the court returned it to DHHS for further permanency planning objectives, permanency planning alternatives, so that to ensure that the best interests of the children are being served by that permanency objective. I think the biggest thing to look at here is whether or not which order affected the substantial right of the appellant. And my argument is that it is the May 21st order, not the June 21st order.
Yeah, so the mother could appeal the June 21st order and raise issues related to the plan of adoption, a plan of adoption instead of guardianship, say. They could have maybe made that argument. But their assigned errors all relate to the substance of the May 21st order, right?
Correct.
With regard to no further reasonable efforts and no reunification. So the substantial right of the mother was affected as of the May 21st order.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. That is what the state is arguing in this jurisdictional
And article. That didn't change between the May 21st order and the June 21st order. That stayed the same.
Correct. Yeah. The only difference between those two, between the June 21st order and the May 21st order, is that adoption was specified as the permanency objective. However, the court had already rejected reunification, and DHHS had already been excused from further reasonable efforts. So there was not, reunification was not on the table at that point. And I think that was clear, and I think it was made even more clear in the record from the statements made by the court when she asked the counsel for the appellant if he was asking her to find a different finding than what she found in that May 21st order. I think that coupled with the language, the plain language of her order, is clear that she intended for that reunification to be taken off of the table and simply returned it to DHHS for alternative permanency planning to ensure that the children's best interests were being met in whatever permanency objective was going to be adopted.
If I go to the Bill of Exceptions for the April 30th hearing, did the judge say out loud during that hearing that she was finding that no more reasonable efforts would be required in this matter?
She did not say it in so many words. I think her intent was clear in that bill of, in that transcript, that she, or Bill of Exceptions, that she was not going to put forth, I think the appellant used the word charade, the court, I think the court used the same word. She wasn't going to continue in the charade, and she understood this case, and she understood the family's history. This case was opened in, this specific case was filed in August, on August 27th of 2018. However, that was following a dismissal of the no-fault case, and the children actually came into the care and custody of Department of Health and Human Services on December 20th of 2017 for failure to follow a safety plan. So the court said in that April hearing that she, this was not in the best interest of the children, and she was not going to continue in this charade.
He argues that what she did in the May 21st order was, in essence, reject the plan that had been suggested and basically sent it back to the drawing board for another plan to be put forth at a later time. How do you respond to that argument, that we were kind of in the middle here? It wasn't clear that it was one or the other.
So my response to that argument, Your Honor, would be that while it wasn't clear what the specific permanency objective was going to be, the options were adoption or guardianship. She stated that she rejected reunification outright, and she stated that it was not in the best interest of the children. So my argument for that would be that the court did not intend for reunification to be the objective, or even to reconsider reunification as the permanency objective. The court was very clear in what she was returning to the case to DHHS for. So my argument is that while it's true there was not a permanency objective specified at that time, and in that regard we could be in a weird area, reunification was still already off the table, and that substantial right had already been affected. And
Could DHHS come back with the same plan a month later?
I would argue no, they would not come back with that, since she was so specific in her written order to excuse them from further reunification efforts and to reject the permanency objective of reunification. Had DHHS come back with the same plan, I think that the court, it would have been a waste of the court's time, because the court was very clear in her intent that it was not in the children's best interest to be returned to reunification with their mother.
Would you agree that the May 21st order is not a dispositional order, because there's no permanency plan included?
I would not agree that. I would agree that it was in different phases of the proceedings for different children in this case. As far as whether it was a dispositional order, I think it's the way that it is written, it would have been a dispositional order. It just wasn't specified what the plan was. With that, Your Honor, the state would request that the court dismiss the appellant's appeal for lack of jurisdiction.
Okay, thank you. As I recall, the appellant was out of time, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, all right. Thank you all for being here. We will take the case under advisement. We appreciate you being here. With that, we will be adjourned.